So we're doing a series in Jeremiah. Now, I'm going to keep it simple. Well, the title I've chosen today is Demolish, Then Build. And I thought that's quite appropriate because we haven't demolished the whole of the old church, but we demolished part of it in order to build. Now, why have I chosen that? Well, I think that the whole point of Jeremiah, if you can't get your head around Jeremiah, it's 52 chapters. I mean, it's really long. And a lot of it is pretty miserable reading. It's quite depressing, some of it. And you think, what's it all about? Well, I think it's really about this. Jeremiah was called to demolish things that weren't right and then to build with something new from God. So if you want a simple summary of Jeremiah, it's found in the first chapter, verses 9 and 10, when the call of Jeremiah came to him. And this is what God told him to do. The Lord said to me, I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, and then to build and to plant. So Jeremiah's job was he was a demolition man. He was a TNT guy. He was a bulldozer. He was a wrecking ball to wreck the things that God wasn't pleased with. But it wasn't just all negative. It was so to clear the ground in order to build something new. Because in the nation at the time, there was false religion, false gods, false worship, false prophets who thought they were something. Jeremiah comes with his wrecking ball and his bulldozer. And he suffered for it. He got a lot of stick. He got thrown down a pit once. Someone got his sermon and burnt it and tore it up and burnt it. He got beaten. He got death threats. But it was all to do something better. And that's God's heart. If God wants to destroy something in our life, and he's done it with me, there's been things in my life God's destroyed, but it was only in order to build something better and newer. Now, I just want to show you the old church a moment, because we had to do, it wasn't us, it was the builders, actually. We had to destroy a few things. Mark will be very glad that one thing that has gone and was uprooted and demolished was that tree, which I'm a little arrow, because whenever he used to put the Christmas lights up, he used to put the ladder into it, it would go in his face, poke his eye out, or he'd fall into it, and he got really fed up, at least I think he did. And I also found a little bit odd, the kind of rhubarb growing out the front. I don't know what it was. No, sorry if you planted it, if you're here. I still don't know what plant it was. And we had to demolish a few things in order to build something better or improved. And I just want to say that very, very simply today, Jeremiah, in the section we read, wants to demolish the ways that people put their trust in something less than God. Okay? So here's the first thing. Here's three. Things that people boast in. God wants to destroy things that people boast in. Now, the word boast in the Bible doesn't mean, hey, look at me. Look at me, guys. You know, look at my biceps. It doesn't mean that. Boast means, in Scripture, it means something people rely on. Something they put their confidence in. Something where what their security is in and what their trust is in. That's what it means. That's your boast. What you trust in. And Jeremiah says at the start, let not the wise boast, that means rely on, their wisdom. Let not the strong boast of their strength. Let not the rich rely on their riches. And those three things, wisdom, strength, and riches, are things that human beings really, really value, aren't they? And in the days of Jeremiah, they were doing just that. They were relying on the religious wisdom. You see that bunch of guys on your left? The religious elite, the prophets. I mean, they were relying on what they thought was wise teaching instead of coming to God themselves. They were relying on strength. You see, the middle picture is the military. They wanted to have their rely on their army, you see. And I'll tell you this. God had put that nation at that time under judgment because they had really gone astray. And God was sending a military against them called the Babylonian army. And their army could not stop God's judgment. Their army wasn't strong enough. And Jeremiah is saying, don't rely on strength, the military. Don't rely on people. Rely on the Lord. Maybe, I don't know, have you ever trusted your entire life onto a person and then been let down? You have to trust in the Lord, not human beings. We're to love human beings, absolutely, love them to bits. But don't lean on them more than you lean on God. And then the other thing, they trusted in their riches. Now they have a temple which was full of gold. I mean, I think it was still Solomon's temple at that time. And they were trusting, we've got the riches of the temple, we've got wealth. And as Tony said last week, don't rely on a building, and we mustn't rely on this. Don't rely on your wealth, because the Bible says riches can grow wings and fly away really quickly. Rely on the Lord, boast in the Lord. So he goes on to say, let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have understanding to know me, that I am the Lord. That's what I believe God is saying this morning. God calls people to the most important thing to rely on, have confidence in, put your security in, put your trust in, is a relationship with Jesus, is to know Jesus. We actually sang a song, Knowing Jesus, knowing you. And I want to say this to you, I don't know if you believe this, you can know the Lord. You can know him in your heart if you don't yet. You can know him by the Holy Spirit living in you. If you open your heart to Jesus in a prayer and you invite Jesus in and say, Lord, I want to know you. And you open your heart and you ask him in, he will come to live in you by the Holy Spirit. You have to turn away from things that you know are wrong. But it's not a religion. It's not a religion where you just sort of got up there somewhere on a cloud. You can actually know the Lord in your heart. Jeremiah says elsewhere, he says, I will give them a heart to know me. Do you want to know Jesus? You're not going to see a guy with a beard and sandals. But in your heart, by the Holy Spirit, do you know him? And it's intimate. Like I know my wife. You know, she knows me. I don't just know about my wife. I don't just know facts about her, like I read on her Facebook profile, or the vague and occasional emails we used to send when we were a little bit more romantic. But I don't just know about her, but I know her, and I know what annoys her, and I know what she loves. And you can do that with Jesus, you know. And to the credit of my wife, she knows me and has still stuck with me. She once sent me a card. I have permission to say this. She once sent me a card and it said, Simon, I love you more than you annoy me. And that's a lot. You can know the Lord. Please believe me, it's true. And he goes on to say, know me, don't rely on this other stuff, riches, wisdom, strength. I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness. You know, you can experience the kindness of God. I have. Life isn't kind, is it? The world isn't kind, is it? But God can show kindness to you. And you might say, well, how did he show kindness to his people in the Old Testament? They got sent into exile. That wasn't very kind, was it? Well, do you know, actually it was. Because when they got sent into exile, well, that was horrible at the time. When they came back, they gave up all their idol worship. They never went back to it. They never went back to worshiping all these weird gods after the exile. It purged them, it weaned them off a lot of weird and strange gods. And sometimes God allows hard things in our lives as an act of kindness. I'm not saying everything, don't get me wrong, but sometimes things come in our life as an act of kindness, to maybe wean us off other things. And just let me show you one other picture, and I'll move on to the last 2 points. He says, know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness. Now, let me just say this. For us today, we're not living in Jerusalem in 640 BC. We're in Ewell in 2025 in a spanking new building. How does God show kindness to you? Well, the primary way God shows kindness to you is on the cross, by dying for you and paying for your sins so that you don't have to pay for them. You don't have to pay for any of your sins. You come to Jesus. The kindness that God shows you is that he died for you on the cross. That is why we have a cross outside, we have a cross on the inside, we have a cross under my nose. Have you noticed? The kindness of God punishing his own son instead of you for all the things that bar us from heaven. And the righteousness and justice fell on Jesus. He was judged for the things we had done wrong. You can know the Lord, you can know his kindness. Right, let's just quickly move on to the last two things that Jeremiah wants to demolish. Here's another one. Things that people secretly trust in their heart. He says, I'm just going to read a short piece. He talks about the heart, Jeremiah, and he says, Egypt, Judah, that was God's people at the time, Edom, Ammon, Moab, all these nations are really uncircumcised. And then he says, Israel is uncircumcised in the heart. And what Jeremiah is saying, without going into too much, on the outward, they were all okay. You know, they were circumcised, they had a temple, they had a kind of a Bible of their own, they were all outwardly religious, but in their heart, there was something wrong. And in their heart, they were secretly worshipping things, putting things above God. And he said, you're just like Egypt. You're just like the others, actually. God wants to deal with the heart, not the outward. I can prove this to you because, just one little fact, I did a bit of geekery studies. Has anyone ever heard of King Josiah? Some of you have heard of King Josiah. Well, he was alive at the time of Jeremiah, right? And he was amazing. He went around the whole country getting rid of all the idols, getting rid of all the statues and false gods. He was so thorough, he cleaned up the whole country, right? So you would think, Jeremiah can have a holiday. Don't need to do anything. But the fact is, Jeremiah had to keep preaching for 23 years, even though there were no statues left in the land. Because Jeremiah knew that the idols were in the heart. King Josiah could not root out idolatry from in the heart. And God wants to come and live in your heart and kick out the false gods, kick out the idols that you might cling to, bless you with kindness, love you, I'll say to the cows come home. He wants to bless you, but he wants to demolish the idols in your heart, the things you might cling to just to give you something better, which is Jesus. What else does he demolish? Well, things that we make ourselves with our own hands, or we make, and then we turn into a god. Okay, now I'm just going to show you something to keep you awake. This is something I made. Now this, Mark will know because he's a geek like me. This is what's called a Spitfire F-24. It is the most powerful Spitfire ever devised. Out of the prop engine, you know, from the original Spitfire. And it's just, I would say I love it more than Karina, that's not true, but but if I hear it, I actually proposed to my wife in front of a Spitfire, can you believe it? Anyway, the point I'm making is, if I said to you, I built this Spitfire, I actually made this one, and then I told you, I'm now gonna worship what I made, I'm gonna bow down to this, and this is going to be my God, this is going to help me fly high in life. What would you think of me? Maybe don't answer that. But this is what Jeremiah says was happening. Like people, they make things and then they turn them into a god. And they give it too much worth. You know, the name worship, or the word worship, it can actually come from the Latin, I think, It can mean worth-ship. You give something worth. Okay? And what Jeremiah chapter 10 does is he compares the true God, versus things made by humans that are worshipped as a god. Okay? And when he does it, he actually does this. He has a laugh. He laughs at how stupid they are, to how incomparable things we make are compared to worshipping the God that made us. I mean, you would laugh at me if I worshipped my Spitfire, wouldn't you? But people, things they make become things they worship, and it's just incomparable. And this is what Jeremiah's doing, because in those days they actually made actual statues. They didn't make Spitfires, they made statues. But before we look at that, I just want to look at the true God. You see, it says of the true God, I won't put it on the screen, but I'll just read you. Just listen to these words from Jeremiah. He says, the true God, he says, no one is like you, Lord. Mighty in power. He's unique. Among all the wise leaders of the nations, there is no one like you. Then he says this, you are the true God, not the fake one. You are the living God, not a dead one. You are the eternal King, not one that's going to perish. And he says, God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom. He stretched out the heavens by his understanding. You know, God made the Big Bang. I don't actually, old creation, would you believe in the Big Bang? God did it. He's unique. Don't worship things you make, but worship the one who made you. Then Jeremiah sort of compares and contrasts with the stupid little gods that they were making, right? They're laughable by comparison. This is what he says. So I'll just read it to you. He says, they cut a tree out of the forest. A craftsman shapes it with a chisel. They put silver and gold on it, fasten it with hammer and nails so it won't fall over. And then he says this. It's like a scarecrow. I took a long time to find a scarecrow. It didn't look terrifying because I knew there might have some young people in the middle. That's a happy-looking scarecrow. But he says they're like a scarecrow in a patch of melons or cucumber field, some translation. I think what he's saying is if you worship things you make, you're a bit of a melon. You've got the brains of a cucumber. He says they cannot speak like a scarecrow. It's got to be carried. It cannot walk. Don't fear them. They can do no harm and they can do no good. And then Jeremiah goes on to say, in verse 11, these gods who did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. They're less than you. Anything you make is less than you, less than a human. Why worship something you make? Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't make statues. I'm all right. And I'm not a geek. I don't make Spitfire. But we all make things. Some of you make a nice bank balance. You made it, a nice bank balance. Well, God is saying, don't put your trust in something you've made, in your money. Some of us make a reputation. We like to make a reputation. These aren't physical things. We make something, a reputation, and then God is saying, don't trust in your reputation. Things we make can turn into a god, and they can be very subtle things in our hearts. So, Jeremiah is out to demolish and destroy anything you trust in that isn't the Lord Jesus. And he wants to replace it with something better, and this is what he wants to replace it with, at least for us today. He wants to replace it with trust in Jesus who died for you on the cross. And that can transform your heart. If you will trust in Jesus who paid for you on the cross, and you say, I want to know you, Lord. I want you to be my God that I worship. That will transform your heart. Let's pray. Lord, help us to clear the ground to allow you to demolish things that maybe we are trusting in, worshipping, relying on, to clear away the idols of our heart. If we don't know what they are, please show us. But bring us into true heart transformation. Cause us to boast only in the cross of Jesus Christ, who truly saves. Amen.